나자이다나브라마니다나야야데이다고다나시바사디고.
The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on June 22nd, 1986 in the Nupani Hadi Dham in Atlanta, Georgia. The class begins with a reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ancha Lila, Chapter 6, Verse 107.
This morning we are reading the history which led up to this festival which we observe today. The temple in Noor in Atlanta is known as Nupani Hati Temple, in commemoration of the special spiritual place known as Panihati Dham in India. In the morning, gave the history how one of the six Goswamis who are responsible for revealing Vrindavan to the world. 500 years ago, Vrindavan was a lost village. People did not know that where was the exact place of Krishna's childhood pastimes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Vrindavan and he showed his senior disciples where Govardhan was, where Radha Kunda, Shama Kunda was, where the various places of Krishna's pastimes and childhood were. And he assigned the responsibility for educating the world and to preserve those holy places to different of his disciples, and they are known as the six Goswamis or the six great spiritual masters. So one of these spiritual masters is known as Das Raghunath. He was famous for being very humble, for being very learned, but in his childhood, in his youth rather, he was a son of a rich lord, a landlord, at that time 500 years ago. As a landlord, in his commission alone for what he would collect in taxes to give to the emperor, he was revealed he made 800,000 gold coins a year. So nowadays a gold coin is worth $325. So 800,000 gold coins is about $250 million. So of today's value, and that time a gold coin was worth more. So he was a very rich person. But once he, after he finished his other responsibilities, he felt a deep inclination towards helping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly in his movement. So he was a very successful landlord, but eventually he wanted to leave that and dedicate his life to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he approached Lord Nityananda in order to do that. But before he could say anything, Nityananda said, "I want to punish you because you've been avoiding me. So the punishment is you have to feed all the people a feast of chipped rice, of chira, and yogurt, and condensed milk. You have to feed all my friends." So no sooner did he start the feast by buying locally some yogurt and some flattened rice and fruits, mangoes, bananas, and other things, then the amount of friends of Lord Nityananda started to increase, because people heard it was a Mahotsav. So in India, when people hear there's going to be a festival, then they start to come. First all the brahmanas and the sadjanas came. Then after that, more and more people came. Finally, the people, businessmen came from other villages to sell their yogurt. And then after they sold, they stayed and they also took part in the feast. And this way, before a few hours was up, a few 100,000 people had gathered. People were standing on the side of the Ganges, because this whole feast happened on the side of the Ganges River. Then when there was no more room on the side of the Ganges, the land was filled up, the river bank was filled up, few people were standing in the water knee deep, then few ankle deep, meaning waist deep, and somehow they are taking the picnic which was offered, the prasad which was offered by Das Raghunath. So today we've had that celebration here. I think everyone has tasted the yogurt and condensed milk, chipped rice, prasad. If there's anyone who hasn't, even some guests or visitors standing in the park, They're all welcome to come on the veranda here and share with us the picnic feast. But after the picnic was over, then Lord Nityananda, he had said that, well, I'll go back to the house of, there was one Brahmin who invited Lord Nityananda, I cooked you a whole lunch. You didn't, you're taking a picnic here, so what's going to happen to all the food? All the prasadam, it's already been offered. Nityananda said, well, you give that to someone, when I come back in the night, I'll take. Today, I'm enjoying like a cowherd boy with Krishna and all the cowherd boys, and here we're just having a picnic under the trees on the side of the Ganges, so I won't want the lunch today. I'll come back and take lunch in the night. So now the picnic is over, and Lord Nityananda went back after doing some kirtan, and that time he was offered to take supper, which after this that we'll also be taking, if Lord Nityananda wants. So this is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the last half of this history. And it's written in Bengali, so I'll read, and then the English translation by Srila Prabhupada. Generally, all our scriptures are written in Sanskrit, like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and they're written 5,000 years ago by Vyasadeva. And those sacred literatures, it's predicted that in the Kali Yuga, there's no avatar who comes as the Supreme Person, declaring himself to be the Supreme Person. But there are some avatars who come, or incarnations of Godhead who come, either as an empowered incarnation or directly, but in disguise. Just like Lord Buddha was predicted in the Vedas, that the Lord would come, but he would come to preach against the principles of the Vedas in order to lead the people who are misusing Vedic knowledge to a path of nonviolence, to a path of religiousness, which was actually the purpose of the Vedas. In the Vedas it also said Lord Shiva would come as a Brahmana to lead people back from Buddhism. So we find that Shankaracharya came and he led the people back from Buddhism to the Vedic culture. So now, although under Ashok, the great king of about 2,500 years ago in India, practically the entire South Asian continent became Buddhist. Subsequently, by the preaching of Shankaracharya, the Vedic tradition was again reestablished, and now Buddhism is simply existing in parts of Southeast Asia, Sri Lanka, in any great quantity. So, but Shankaracharya, when he was told by Vishnu that you should, Vishiva was told, you should go in the garb of a Brahmin and you should teach the Buddhist philosophy covered, the impersonal philosophy, in this way to lead the people back, because Buddhism said there's no God, there's simply a void, there's no supreme truth. So because people in those days weren't believing in a supreme truth, it was easy enough for them to accept what Lord Buddha said. But Shankaracharya said, no, there is a supreme truth. But the supreme truth is formless. It's nirakar. And so he proved to them there was an atma, there was a soul, there was a paramatma, a super soul, but this supreme soul is also impersonal. So that was easy for the Buddhists to accept, that the supreme truth had no form. Either there's no truth, or the truth has no form, is very similar, so it was easier for them to accept. But the original Vedic teaching is Krishna Boy Satchit Ananda Gada Krishna Adi Purusha Krishna Purushottamaha in the Rig Veda. That Krishna is the Satchit Anand, he is eternal, blissful knowledge, that there's a supreme person or a supreme truth with a personal form also. But this was not touched upon by Shankaracharya to the very end of his pastime, when finally he told his followers that Bhaja Govinda, Bhaja Govinda, Bhaja Govinda Mudamate, that you're all wasting your time in this arguing. You have become practically like donkeys. You should take up the worship of Govinda. By that time it was too late. So after Shankaracharya also it was predicted that there will be a incarnation of Godhead who would come. Along with him he would come with his expansion or Sa'anga. I quoted this verse before, the Krishna Varnam Twisa Krishnang Sangupanga Suparshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayer Yajanti Sumedasan. And in the Kali Yuga, Krishna will appear in a non-blackish or golden color as a devotee of himself. And the Lord will be accompanied by his own associates, by his energies, and by his personal paraphernalia. And his activity will be to expand the preaching of the Sankirtan movement of chanting the congregationally the holy names of the Lord. So that was about 500 years ago that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. So it was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who revealed Vrindavana, who toured all over India, first to Puri, then to Konyakumari and Sri Rangam, to all the various holy places in South India, then Maharashtra, at Pandalpur, the Vitthala deity. There, Tukaram felt the inspiration of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he also began a bhakti movement. Lord Chaitanya went up to Dwarka. Then he went back to Puri, and from there he went to Vrindavan. Balava Acharya, who is famous in Gujarat for the Pushti Marg, on several occasions had Chaitanya Mahaprabhu come to his house and take meals. Balava Acharya was a Grihasthi Brahmana. Lord Chaitanya was a sannyasi the latter part of his life. So that time, as a Grihasthi Acharya Brahman, he requested Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take prasad at his house. From this way, there was a connection also with the Jai Sri Krishna movement of Balava Acharya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, we're reading today about Lord Chaitanya's personal associate, Nityananda Prabhu, who was like his lieutenant. You saw today earlier the drama by the Gurukul girls from Lake Huntington, a very nice presentation, very attractive, very devotional, inspiring. There Lord Nityananda was sent out by Lord Chaitanya to preach door to door. So when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas and went traveling all over India, he kept Lord Nityananda in Bengal. So this Das Raghunath is one of the Goswamis who came from Bengal. Some came from South India, some came from West India. Das Raghunath came from East India. And he is going to make his approach to the Nityananda, trying to see how he can get closer to Lord Chaitanya's movement. Omagyanachamanindasya gyananjana salakaya chakshushamalitanyena tasmai sri gurave nama namam vishnupadaya krishna prasthaya bhutale srimate bhakti vedanta shaminiti namine namaste saraswati deve gauravani pracharine nirvisesha sunyavadhi paschatirishitanine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gurarharo Sivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukakuroti Vachalang Pangulangayate Giringat Kripata Mahambande Sigurum Vinatarinam. Antya Leela, Chapter 6 of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bhojane Bosila Prabhu Nicha Ganaloya Mahaprabhu Rasana Dahine Apatiya. Lord Nityananda Prabhu sat down for supper with his personal associates and made a sitting place on his right side for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At that time, physically, Lord Chaitanya was traveling around India somewhere, or maybe in Jagannath Puri, some many hundreds of miles away. Mahaprabhu asise asane bosilo deki rakhobera mone ananda barilo. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there and sat down at his place. Seeing this, Raghav Pandit felt increasing happiness. Sakal Vaishnave Piche Purivesana Koila. Raghav Pandit brought the prasad before the two brothers and thereafter distributed prasad to all the other Vaishnavas. There were varieties of cake, sweet rice, and fine cooked rice that surpassed the taste of nectar. There were also varieties of vegetables. Nana Prakara Pita Payas Dibbosalana Amrita Nindaya Oichi Bibida Banjana Raghubera Thakura Prasadamite Sar Mahaprabhu Jahaj Kaite Ai Sebarobar. The food prepared and offered to the deity by Raghava Pandit was like the essence of nectar. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there again and again to eat such prasad. When Raghava Pandit offered the food to the deity after cooking, he would make a separate offering for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Every day Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would eat at the house of Raghava Pandit. Sometimes he would give Raghava Pandit the opportunity to see him. Raghava Pandit would bring, and this is very important, that Grihastha, Raghava Pandit was the householder, if they have Krishna in their home and they prepare their food as an offering to Krishna in devotion, then they offer that to Krishna following the instructions of the Guru, using the offering mantras with devotion. Krishna personally is present, he comes and he takes that offering from the householder. And Raghava Pandit was such a great devotee that when he would give some prasad, he would also offer the prasad to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then Lord Chaitanya would come and take that prasad. And sometimes Raghava Pandit could even see that the Lord had come to take the prasad. There's a deity in India called Alana Alalanath, which is a four-armed Vishnu form, very beautiful deity. And one time the Brahmin father, he had to go out for some preaching or some visit some students or something for some days, for some work. So he asked his son, who he had just given the Upanayanam, the mantra, but he hadn't really trained him very well. He was a very small boy, only 6-7 years old. So he asked him, while I'm gone, you offer the food to the deity, you give the food to the deity for him to eat it. The mother will prepare for you. So the young boy took the offering of bhoga, of food, put in front of the deity of Krishna, Narayan, and he stood there. And he started to cry. So the deity spoke to him and said, made of stone deity, why are you crying? Because you're not eating. My father said that I'll get the food for my mother, I'll put it in front of you, and you eat it. But you're not eating. So he was crying. So then the deity says, if I eat it, you'll be, because the boy, he didn't understand the process of deity worship, that you just sit down, put it in front, offer with mantra. He wasn't thinking like the deity is a stone, therefore the deity can't eat or smoke or talk. He believed that, well, this is Krishna, he was a simple boy. He had such faith that he thought, when I give the food, the deity is going to eat it physically. Normally, we're too smart. We know that, well, the deity is made of brass or wood or stone, so the deity can't eat. Deity will eat by some spiritual means. But this boy had such faith that the deity was just a person. The deity would eat by the normal means. And when the deity wasn't eating, he started to cry. So then the deity got down from the shingasana and started to eat. Then the boy took back, was very happy, took back the plate, gave it to his mother. The mother said, what happened to the prasadam? So the deity ate it. The mother thought, boy is already learning to lie, or what's happening is very, because normally whenever you offer to the deity the food, you get back whatever you offer. But here the plate was, because the boy was crying that you have to eat it, so the deity was going and actually eating. So this was going on every day while the father was gone. So when the father came back, the mother said that there's something very strange is going on. Every day I'm giving the, preparing the offering, giving it to the boys, taking it to the temple. When he comes back, the plate is half empty. And then he says that the deity is eating. So I don't know what to know, what to believe about this. Whether the boy is hiding, I don't know what's going on. So the father said, well, you give to him also today. I'll hide in the temple and see with my own eyes. So he went in the back and he was hiding, watching. Then he saw the boy come in, put down the food, the offering, then pray, please come. This is the father said. The father is also guru, so he had faith. Put the food down, said, please take the food. Saw the father saw the deity move. The stone deity move and start to take the offering. He got so shocked. He goes, oh! He made a sound. Then the deity jumped back up. Startled by the sound. And some of the food stuck on the side of the deity. And it caused a mark. Because that time the deity became just movable. So then even to this day, on the Alnath deity, you can see there's a mark there, which the pujari show to indicate this pastime. So like that, if a person has faith, you give the offering to Krishna, whether he physically eats it or he eats it through the spiritual means normally. But this is a way that someone can get immense spiritual benefit. If we have full faith, then even the deity talks to the devotees. But that's very rare for persons who have complete faith. Although he was a small boy, he had such complete faith, no doubt at all, that the Lord reciprocated. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Jai Chita Amang Prapadyante Tangsataiva Bhajamyaham. But as you worship me, I reciprocate with you. I will also worship you in that way, or reciprocate with you. So that boy had full faith, so Krishna reciprocated. So Raghava Pandit, he was a great devotee, but he was a grihastha. Many of the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, most of them in fact, were householders. Very few, maybe a dozen or so, were actually sannyasis. And he recommended that people should chant Hare Krishna in their homes. Of course, some of his householders were Brahmana, some were Kshatriyas, some were Vaishyas, some were Sudras. At that time, there were some were Mohammedans, some were Buddhists, all types of people were there. So Raghava Pandit was the Pandit. He worshipped the deity very strictly. We're trying to introduce this program of people worshipping Krishna in their home. Come here to the temple to learn how to worship Krishna in the home. We'll be happy to go to your house and teach you how to set up this facility, or if you have such a facility, to go there and train how to do more things or even to participate in special functions. So, in this way, Lord Chaitanya would eat at the house of Raghava Pandit. And Raghava Pandit would bring and distribute the prasad to the two brothers, Nitai and Gaur, with great attention. They ate everything. And therefore, sometimes there would be no remnants left. Again, here Raghava Pandit Mahaswami, he had such devotion that he had the same problem. Sometimes he'd offer the food and the two brothers would eat it all. Of course, he was very happy. So that is a rare benediction if that happens. In fact, it is said that Radharani herself personally cooked in the house of Raghava Pandit for Krishna, the deity. Srimati Radharani, it says here, Durva Sarta Iteho, Pancha Chinavar, Paya Chinavar, Amrita Haite Pakatar, Othika Motur. Srimati Radharani received from Durvasa Muni the benediction that whatever she cooked would be sweeter than nectar. That is the special feature of her cooking. Sugandhi Sundara Prasad, Madhujjarasa, Dvi Bayataha Kanya Santo Shalapar. Aromatic and pleasing to see, the food was the essence of all sweetness. Thus the two brothers, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, And Lord Nityananda Prabhu ate it with great satisfaction. You see, the impersonalists, they say everything is void, everything is one. But here in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, normally food is considered material. But because when you offer prasad, a bhoga, to the deity of Krishna, the food becomes spiritual. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, they're discussing food, not that they would discuss ordinary food, but they're discussing it because it's prasad, it's sacred, it's holy, it's an offering, it's spiritual. And the spiritual world has all this variety. Just like the various offerings made to Krishna, sukta, sak, torka, various types of bitters, sours, various types of vegetables, sweetmeats, cakes, pitas, panas, so many different types of preparations. So in the spiritual world, there's all variety. And this variety exists in the spiritual world. Therefore, this material world has variety, because the material world is a shadow or reflection of the absolute truth or the spiritual world. So this is to attract our mind that in the spiritual world there's something better than here. This kingdom of God has something more to offer. And we can get a glimpse of that through hearing about the pastimes of the Lord and the planet Earth when He came here. We can get a glimpse of that by chanting the name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We can also get a taste of that by taking the sacred prasad offered to Krishna. It is something different. You can cook the same thing in the house, but if you offer it to Krishna, it is a different taste. Anyone, they can experiment. When you offer it to Krishna, it's something different. It gives you a different type of satisfaction, a different taste. Because the nectar of Krishna's lotus lips has mixed within that foodstuff. So back to the main theme. So after all the devotees took prasad, or they actually, when they were sat down to take prasad, they requested Raghavanath Das to sit down and take prasad with them. But Raghava Pandit said he will take prasad later. Bhakta gana kanta bhuriya kurira bhojan hari dani kore uti khoila achaman. All the devotees took prasad, filling themselves to the brim. Akanta, akanta means up to the neck. Normally you can only eat up to here, more than that. So they took full prasad. Then after that they washed their hands and mouths and chanted Hari Bol, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So after Nitai Gaur finished eating, then Raghava Pandit gave them flower garlands and sandalwood pulp and decorated them. Worshipped their lotus feet. Then he distributed flower garlands and sandalwood to the devotees. Then he gave Raghunath Das the special Mahaprasad remnants of Nitai Gaur's own plate to Raghunath Das. The remnants of prasad from the plate of the Lord or great devotee, spiritual master, this has got some spiritual, special potency. So that was Raghava Pandit's mercy to save those remnants and give to Raghunath Das. And he told him, Kohila Chaitanya Gosai Kuriyachana Bhojan Tar Sesha Paile Tumar Kandilo Bandan. He said, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has eaten this food. If you take his remnants, you will be released from the bondage. Bhakta chite bhakta grihe sada avastan kabu gupta kabu bhakto swatantra bhagavan. The Supreme Personality of Godhead always resides either in the heart or in the home of a devotee. This fact is sometimes hidden and sometimes manifest. For the Supreme Personality of Godhead is fully independent. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is all-pervasive, and therefore He resides everywhere. Anyone who doubts this will be annihilated. In the morning, after taking his bath in the Ganges, Nityananda Prabhu sat down with his associates beneath the same tree under which he had previously sat, the tree under which this big feast was held. Raghunatha asi koila charana vandan Raghava pandita dara koila nivedan. Raghunath Das went there and worshipped Lord Nityananda's lotus feet. To Raghava Pandit, he submitted his desire. Atam pamamui hino jivadham mor icha hoya pao chaitanya charan. I am the lowest of men, the most sinful, fallen, and condemned. Nevertheless, I desire to attain the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bama na hoya jano channa dhuri vare chai oneka jagna koi nutati kabu siddha noi. Like a dwarf who wants to catch the moon, I have tried my best many times, but I have never been successful. Every time I try to go away and give up my home relationships, my father and mother unfortunately kept me bound. No one can attain the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without your mercy. But if you are merciful, even the lowest of men can attain shelter at his lotus feet. Although I am unfit and greatly afraid to submit this plea, I nevertheless request you, sir, to be especially merciful toward me by granting me shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Placing your feet on my head, give me the benediction that I may achieve the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without difficulty. I pray for this benediction. Sunihasi kohe prabhu sababhakta gane ihara vishayasuk indra sukha same. After hearing this appeal by Raghunath Das, Lord Nityananda Prabhu smiled and told the devotees, Raghunath Das's standard of material happiness is equal to that of Indra, the king of heaven. Because of the mercy bestowed upon him by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Raghunath Das, although situated in such material happiness, he does not like it at all. Therefore, let every one of you be merciful toward him and give him the benediction that he may very soon attain the shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna pada padma ganda jay janupai brahmaloka adi sukha tare nahi vai. One who experiences the fragrance of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna does not even value the standard of happiness available in brahmaloka, the topmost planet. It's the heavenly planet. And what to speak of heavenly happiness? The verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Yo dustya jan dara sutam suhid rajan hridis prisa jahau yuvaiva malavat uttamas lokal alasa. Translation from Sanskrit. Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is offered sublime poetic prayers by those trying to attain his favor. Thus he is known as uttamas loka. Being very eager to gain the association of Lord Krishna, King Bharat, although in the prime of youth, gave up his very attractive wife, affectionate children, most beloved friends, and opulent kingdom, exactly as one gives up stool after excreting it. Actually, this planet is known as Bharat Varsha because of the King Bharat. He was the son of Rishabhdev. And after being in the prime of his life, when he saw his son was old enough, he gave the kingdom to his son, he left, and he went to the forest to become self-realized. But because he did not succeed, he became attached to a deer. In the next life he became a deer, but he could remember his previous life as a king. And that he became determined that in my next life, I'm going to achieve God realization. So in the third life, as Jara Bharata, he achieved complete God realization. Then he became the Rajguru of another great king who had discovered him. And in that third birth, he achieved moksha, or he achieved the spiritual world. So the Indian Hindi, or in Indian Sanskrit, is known as Bharat. But originally this whole planet was known as Bharat because the denizens of other planets, they still call this planet as Bharat. Because Bharat Varsha, because they were so astonished by the renunciation and this means of achieving perfection by that King Bharata, who at that time was the emperor of the entire world. So the example is given that if somebody gets bit by the desire to achieve Krishna or to achieve self-realization, then material things do not seem very significant. Of course, in those days, a person could go in the forest
They could take sannyas. They could do all these things. But in Kali Yuga, this is not recommended. It's very difficult. It is recommended rather to live in association of devotees, to live where other devotees are there. If one can make their house into an association of devotees, then that's a suitable place to live. Otherwise, one can live in a community with devotees, or in a holy place like Vrindavan, or Dwaraka, or Mayapur, Navadvip, and execute devotional service there. Or like Nupanihati Dham, so many other places. In fact, in India, when people retire, they generally want to go to a holy place and practice the devotional service in the latter part of their life. Actually, sometimes people, when we preach to the young people that you should start chanting Hare Krishna from the young age, they say, no, no. In India, rather. They say, that's for when we go old. When we get old, then we'll go to some holy place and chant. But actually, the problem is if we don't practice from a young age, then it's very difficult to, all of a sudden, in the old age, change. Because Bharat Maharaj was the son of Rishabhdev. The Jains worship him as the first Tirthankara. The Hindus worship him as an avatar of Krishna. He's a very powerful incarnation who gave us the process of God realization mentioned in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam. So because Bharat Maharaj was blessed in so many ways, right from his childhood, he was only really interested in spiritual life. But he was given the charge of the kingdom. He did his duty. He had a perfect empire. Everything was running well. But as soon as his son was old enough to take over, he left. He didn't want to stay entangled further. This is very rare. This is very rare. So that example is given that Das Raghunath was so determined that in spite of having millions and millions of, what it would be by our calculation, millions of dollars of wealth, hundreds of millions of dollars, he didn't find any peace in material life. He wanted to serve Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and try to uplift the world to Krishna consciousness, to serve Krishna and achieve love for Krishna. That was his impetus. So, in conclusion, Lord Nityananda Prabhu called Raghava Das near him, placed his lotus feet upon Raghunath Das's head and began to speak. He said, "My dear Raghunath Das, since you arranged the feast on the bank of the Ganges, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here just to show you his mercy. By his causeless mercy, he ate the chipped rice and milk. Then after seeing the dancing of the devotees at night, he took his supper. Tumar udari te gora ila apone, chutilo tumar jato bigna adibandane." Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gaurahari, came here personally to deliver you. Now rest assured that all the impediments meant for your bondage are gone. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will accept you and place you under the charge of his secretary, Sarup Damodar. You will thus become one of the most confidential internal servants and will attain the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Being assured of this, return to your own home. Very soon, without impediments, you will attain the shelter of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Nityananda had Raghunath Das blessed by all the devotees, and Raghunath Das offered his respects to their lotus feet. After taking leave of Lord Nityananda Prabhu and then all the other Vaishnavas, Sri Raghunath Das consulted secretly with Raghava Pandit. After consulting with Raghava Pandit, he secretly delivered 100 gold coins and about 7 tolas of gold to the hand of Nityananda Prabhu's treasurer. Raghunath Das admonished the treasurer, "Do not speak about this to Lord Nityananda Prabhu now, but when he returns home, kindly inform him about this presentation." Thereupon, Raghava Pandit took Raghunath Das to his home, and after inducing him to see the deity, he gave Raghunath Das a garland and sandalwood pulp. He gave Raghunath Das a large quantity of prasad to eat on his way home. If anybody has to drive, they can take a little prasad with them, if there's any left. Then Raghunath Das again spoke to Raghava Pandit. I want to give money, he said, just to worship the lotus feet of all the great devotees, servants and sub-servants of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. As you think fit, give 20, 15, 12, 10 or 5 coins to each of them. So Raghunath Das drew up an account of the amount to be given and submitted to Raghava Pandit. Then he made up a list showing how much money was to be paid to each and every devotee. With great humility, Raghunath Das placed 100 gold coins and about 2 tolas of gold before Raghava Pandit for all the other devotees. After taking the dust from the feet of Raghava Pandit, Raghunath Das returned to his home, feeling greatly obliged to Lord Nityananda Prabhu because of having received his merciful benediction. So in this way, Raghunath Das, he got the mercy of Lord Nityananda, got the blessing to achieve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Somehow or another, sooner or later, sooner the better, we all need to develop our God consciousness. That is the purpose of human life. Human life, it's meant to have festivals where we think about Krishna, we think about Bhagavan, we uplift our consciousness, and we get spiritual happiness associating with devotees, dancing in kirtan. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was given a process of dharma, which is so fun, which is so spiritually enjoyable, that even we find people driving by with no intention of stopping. They cannot resist to stop their car and look, or sometimes come in and join. How is it everybody is happy? And here, there's no drinking of wine or whiskey. There's no taking of any drugs. Simply by chanting the names of God, everyone is feeling very happy. By taking the holy food, everyone is feeling very satisfied. So, this process of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is given in the Veda, Sankirtanam, is something which is so practical that anyone, even a child, can participate. Yet if someone is very learned, if he's very intelligent, they can go deep into the philosophy. Who are we? What is the soul? What is the difference between the body and the soul, the spirit? What is the material world? How is it created? How is it existing? What is beyond the material world? What is beyond death? What is karma? What is reincarnation? What is life after death? What is love for God? All these things are revealed in the Vedas. It's not a sentimental process. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had long discussions with great sannyasis, with great pandits on this point. They would accuse him, why is a sannyasi you dancing in the street with common people? In fact, we saw today in the play earlier that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had accepted all castes of people, whether they were Sudras, or whether they were Mohammedans, or whether they were Brahmanas, whatever they might be, for worshipping Krishna, he said everyone is equal before God. Everyone has the right to serve the Lord, to chant his name. In social or in other dealings, there may be some distinction, but in worshipping God, everyone has the right to chant his name. There's no restriction on that. In this way, he uplifted the people to the highest level of being a Vaishnava. He uplifted them. In this way, he showed that it's possible to actually have a unity in the world, possible to have a real equality amongst all people, but not by just some artificial whitewashing, but by actually uplifting the people to a common level. If someone is in a lower, he uplifts them all to the spiritual platform. So this process is very simple. And through drama, through festivals, through chanting, through prasadam, through this philosophy, there's no difficulty in practicing. One can transform their home into a temple. One can transform their heart into a spiritual temple simply by chanting Hare Krishna wherever they are, whether they're driving in their car, whether they're sitting in the bus, whether they're in the airplane, whether they're on the ground in the park, wherever they may be. It's not difficult to remember this vibration. There's only three words, Hare Krishna and Rama, simply by repeating Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Of course, Lord Chaitanya admitted there are unlimited names of God, and you can chant any of the bona fide names of God. It's not that you have to only chant one or two, you can chant any of the bona fide names. But this Hare Krishna mantra was especially recommended in the Upanishads, particularly in the Kali Santara Upanishad, that this mantra is specifically given for chanting in this age. I mean, it's the most effective mantra to chant in this particular age. It may have been chanted in other ages as well, but it is specifically the most effective mantra for this age. So, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Iti so disakam nam nam, Kali kalama shana shanam, Nata parata upaya, Sarva vede shudishyate. These 16 names forming this previous mantra, Iti Sodasakam Nam Nam Kali Kalamasha Nashanam, destroys the Kalamash, or all the pollution of Kali Yuga. The present age we're in is Kali Yuga. There are a lot of problems in this age. People are going away from the path of spiritual consciousness. They're not interested at all in many places in God consciousness. They're becoming more and more materialistic. But by chanting this vibration, even not as a religion, just as a song, as in any way, even an accident, even in joking, it has its effect. Kali Kalama Shanasanam, it takes away those impurities from the heart. So therefore, we chant this mantra because Lord Chaitanya has given it. The process of Sankirtanam is recommended throughout all of the Vedas, and it's very easy to perform. Anywhere, anytime, there's no hard and fast rules. Nam nama kari bahudani jasarva shakti startarpya niyamita smorane nakala. No hard and fast niyamas or rules. Time, kala, patra, stana, time, place, or circumstance. One can chant under any condition. So actually what we're trying to do is teach people how to chant, then they can be independent. They can chant anywhere. In fact, most people, they have a process how to get people that they have to come to the temple because that's the only place you can pray to God. But that's not our process. We're teaching how a person can pray to Krishna, to Bhagavan, anywhere. Then why will people come to the temple? We're not worried. Because if someone chants, they feel such happiness, they also like to come to the temple and chant with the other devotees. Because there the happiness increases when you chant with more people. So it's a totally positive. We're not shy about giving this process. Chant it anywhere. If you chant it, if you're far away, you can't come to the temple. It's very good if you chant. Make your house into a temple. This is our program. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Everyone should try to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda like Das Raghunath did, how they can get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, get his shelter, so that this can be the last lifetime in the material world, or material consciousness, that one can get the pure consciousness of pure love for Krishna, the pure consciousness of Krishna consciousness. That is a special benediction that Lord Nityananda gives. Since he gave it to Das Raghunath, and we're just representing Das Raghunath, trying to offer the feast for everyone, and everyone else is representing, participating in the feast, so we can all appeal to Lord Nityananda to also place his lotus feet on our heads and give us the same benediction. And we can appeal to Srila Prabhupada, who has brought Nitai and Gaur here into Atlanta, Nupanihati Dham, so that we can get this mercy to kindly, just as Raghava Pandit has presented the case on behalf of Das Raghunath, the kindly Srila Prabhupada, please present this case on our behalf to Lord Nityananda, that we can get the full shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna. Anybody has any questions? Which mantra? The Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna. Yeah, that one. That's the one. Yeah, that's the Hare Krishna mantra. Any name of Krishna you can chant and you get this effect. We become familiar with the Hare Krishna mantra. We think, well, it's just the Hare Krishna mantra. But there are many great... Narada Muni is a great liberated soul. He chants this mantra constantly. The Hare Krishna mantra... Some mantras are very mechanical. If you mechanically chant it properly, you get the effect. Hare Krishna is a much higher level mantra. If you chant it very inattentively, very casually, you get also great benefit, but to that extent. But if you chant it very seriously, very attentively, very carefully, then you can get unlimited effect from that. But even if you just chant it anyway, you'll get some effect. Because they didn't follow Rishabdev properly. They didn't actually stick to following Rishabdev. Somewhere along the line,
they separated.
That's mentioned in the Bhagavad. That there were some followers who didn't understand the real teaching of Rishabdev. They made a slight deviation,
yes.
And from that some
Jains organized.
Any other question? Prahlad Maharaj, he was taught Krishna consciousness when he was in the womb of his mother. The last 2 months of pregnancy, the embryo, the child in the womb becomes conscious. That time they can sometimes remember previous lives. That time they can hear sometimes. So they start to move around. It's very uncomfortable. So that time, Prahlad, he was trained by Narada Muni. Narada Muni talked to Prahlad's mother, knowing that Prahlad could hear in the womb. So when he was born, he had full knowledge. He never forgot that knowledge he had learned before he was born. That's... Parents have a great responsibility to teach their children so that the children don't have to again and again suffer the recurrence of the cycle of birth and death. So that they can achieve the lotus feet or the shelter of Bhagavan by in this lifetime. So Prahlad Maharaj said, Komara Macharet Pragyo, that one should practice even from 5 years of age. Gradually by practice, and one advances more and more. The Vedas, that life should be gauged, whether it's a success or failure, whether at the end of life we're able to return to the Lord. We find that previous generations, there are many people in India especially who they left their bodies chanting the name of God. It says, Narayana Antasmiti, that if one thinks of Krishna at the time of death, then they go back to Krishna. That's considered perfection. But how do they think of? Krishna at the end, only because they've been thinking about Krishna through their lifetime. So in this Western world, how is it possible to think about Krishna? It's very difficult. But it's easier if we get into practice of chanting and associating with devotees and hearing about Krishna. Then it's easy. Then during our life and at death, at any time we can think of Krishna, we don't have to fear. So Lord Chaitanya has given us the way to become fearless. Bhaja hure mana Sri Nanda Nandana Abhoya Charanara Bindare. Bhaja hure mana Sri Nanda Nandana Abhoya Charanara Bindare. Dhurlabho manava janama sat sangeta roho e bava sindure. By worshipping Krishna, one becomes fearless, takes advantage of this rare human birth, associates with devotees, crosses over the ocean of repetition of birth and death. Ready? Yes. Why do we chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya? That's the mantra of the Dwapara Yuga. Hare Krishna mantra is eternal. Narada Muni brought it from the spiritual world. But in other ages, due to the different environment, just like in Dwapara Yuga, people were more attracted to chant the name of Ram. Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram. Raghupati Raghavaraja Ram, Patita Pavana Sita Ram. Because Ramchandra's avatar was there. Or when Krishna was present on the planet, in Dwapara Yuga, people were more attracted to chanting Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. But the gopis in Vrindavan, when they felt separation from Krishna, they would chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, this is a special chant of Vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was introduced into the world the system of worship as was practiced by the Vrindavan Vasis, or residents of Vrindavan. He said that the devotees of Vrindavan, their system of devotion was so perfect, it was so pure, that there's nothing that compares to it. So Lord Chaitanya, in his movement, he preserves the highlights and the mood and the system within a context of not being in Vrindavan, of Krishna not being on the planet. He teaches how to worship Krishna in separation, like the residents of Vrindavan did when Krishna left Vrindavan. So through separation, we can feel a constant connection with Krishna. So in this way, we chant that same mantra that the Vrajavasis chanted. It's a very esoteric mantra. It's a very intimate mantra. But it's very effective. That mantra was existing eternally. Why only in previous yugas? But only someone who had that Vrindavan mood, someone who had the desire to achieve Radha and Krishna, they would know that mantra, because Narada Muni is very confidential. He would have the mantra. He gave the mantra to Migrari the hunter and others. But so his disciples, he gave some of them that mantra. He saw that someone was, may have given some other mantra to someone else. Like he gave a different mantra to Dhruva Maharaj. Different time, place, and circumstance. The preacher sometimes has to do that. How does the devotional mood go from one of awe and reverence to one of familiarity? It doesn't go very easily from awe and reverence to familiarity. Right. There, what happens is because it's very difficult to make that transition. What normally happens is that after this lifetime, a devotee who's supposed to worship Krishna now, he basically as a servitor, as a servant, in the mood of service, which means with some awe and reverence. So, in some cases, Krishna, he can lift one up. By his mercy, he can cause that change. In other cases, a person, when they leave this body, they will take birth in the universe where Krishna's pastimes are going on. And when they are born in Vrindavan, then they are not born in a situation of awe and reverence. They're born in Vrindavan, and they take up some service to Krishna there directly, and then from there they transfer back to the spiritual world.